it may come down to a game time decision whether or not the Lions wide receiver Calvin Johnson will play. But for defensive coordinator Ray Horton, this will not affect the way he'll call the defense on Sunday.
Can you just kind of assess his development throughout this entire season?
I've been very pleased and very happy to get to know TJ on a personal level. I scouted him when he came out of Oregon and watched him as he played, but I had no idea what kind of character he had. He's a very smart, instinctive young man, which, you know, you don't know that unless you coach the player. He's allowed me to do some things on the field with bringing him, disguising. He's done everything I had hoped for and beyond. I've been very pleased with his production and his really his leadership in the classroom and on the field.
Hey Ray, how does the Lions offense change when Calvin's not on the field?
Well, even with him on the field, they're really different game to game. When you watch, you know, the 3-4 teams that they've played, Washington, Green Bay, you know, they're totally different in those games than they were in Chicago in the Minnesota game. So Matthew Stafford, I think, is doing a fantastic job this year of distributing the ball. They have 11 players with 20-plus yard plays, big plays, which is remarkable that that many guys contribute for them. So are they a different team without Calvin on the field? I think they are. But the way they're distributing the ball, for me to say they won't miss him is absurd. But he's doing such a wonderful job distributing the ball, I think they can really absorb, you know, one guy being out. And last week they just, you know, happened to play, you know, one of the better teams in their division.
Ray, when you came in here, what were one or two of the things that you had to sell the players on to make your defense work?
I don't know if I had to sell anything. I just asked them to trust me. And that's the only thing I wanted them to do is just trust that I knew what I was talking about. One of the things that we had to overcome, I think, is past performance and history and statistically and record. But these guys, every year is a new year. You can look around the league. I'm sure some people are shocked by some of the teams that are, you know, 0 for the year and 1 for the year and all that stuff. Each year is different, so past performance is no indicator of future performance, and we talk about that all the time.
I mean, some of these guys have been through probably 4 or 5 coordinators, you know, DeQuell and Ruben and so on. How does a new guy kind of make it seem like just another guy passing through? When some of these, you've been around the league. You know
yeah. Well, I'll go back on what I just said, past performance. I hope they looked at my past performance and said, okay, you know. So I guess don't listen to what I say. Yeah, that's a part of it. And really what helps that is when you do go out and perform, you perform well, and they start, you know, buying in maybe from a player's perspective of, okay, this is a little different, or maybe we can trust them a little bit. And, you know, it's a growing relationship on both parts, I think, on the players to the coaches and on the coaches to the players, where, you know, everybody understands there's ownership in the team.
Ray, how often is Reggie Bush a running back and how often a receiver, and what does that do to your preparation for their offense?
I don't call the plays for him, but looking on film, Reggie's a threat, you know, when he's on the field, and how, you know, they choose to deploy him is up to them. I would say he reminds me, looking at him back at the USC days, of he's a threat to get the ball. And they want to get the ball to him, whether it's on a long swing pass, a handoff, a toss, a reverse. He's just a dangerous player in space. His longest play was a 76-yard screen pass that was phenomenal to watch him run, and it really went back to the USC-Texas days of, you know, basketball on grass.
Are you expecting Calvin Johnson to play?
I'm not there. I'm not their coach. I don't pretend to be. I have no idea. I assume he's going to play? He's a competitor. He's a fantastic player. I think if there's any way he can play, he'll play, but unfortunately, I'm not up there in Detroit. I don't get to watch their practices.
Ray, what do you like about Armonte Brown?
I like that he's a young man that I asked him to show loyalty to the team, because we drafted the kid that had a checkered past, and he's been doing everything to endear himself to us and to for us to trust him and to put him in the games. So the biggest thing that I like about him is he's proving us right for taking a chance on a young man that has potential to play in this league. And we've asked him to change his habits and his thought pattern and his planning, and so far he's done that.
That Buffalo game kind of started out with the PI on Hayden in the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so up for that game, the bright lights, the national TV game. Did you need to talk to him, or how did he recover from that early play?
No, I don't talk to the players on game day. I leave them alone. I never wanted my coach talking to me, and so I don't talk to them, to the players. I don't talk to them during the game. Joe, in this league, you're going to get penalties. It's an offensive game. We understand that. We understand how the game is called. Mistakes happen. Penalties happen. All we do is say, get back in and give us one blade of grass to defend. And he did. You know, the ball was at the one-yard line, so we still had an opportunity to stop them from getting in. And it's a long game. There's going to be ebbs and flows in the game, and those are part of the game. And I tell my players, I don't worry about penalties. I'm not going to pull you out of the game. You just play football for me. And they're doing that for us right now. We don't panic. We don't get upset. And there's no reason to pull a guy or say something to a guy over an effort play.
Talk about the pick six and how that reflects on the kind of player Ward has become.
Well, one of the things we did when we came in here is we challenged the guys to be as good as they can be. Now, what is that? I don't know what it is. They don't know what it is. I think if you have quality players and a good system, you can be as good as you need to be, and I think we can be. What that is a reflection on him, understanding film, study, reading the quarterback, showing him something that he's not playing, and it's a reflection on really a great week of preparation for TJ, and it's hopefully it shows him that he is growing in the league to understand he can be a complete player in the league.
Can you talk about the season that Joe Hayden is having, and if Calvin does play, sort of the matchup that you think that's going to be, and you know, just how well is Joe doing for this year?
Joe is one of the players that we challenge to be better. He's a player that has tremendous potential, and we're trying to get that out of him, and we've challenged him to be that, and I joke with him, to be Patrick Peterson. Patrick Peterson wants to be great, and we want Joe to be great, and he's accepted the challenge. He understands the inside joke of Patrick wouldn't do that. It's a way to challenge a guy to be better than maybe he even knows he can be. But he's going to be on the team's best receiver most of the time, and he's got the ability and he's got the mindset to accept that challenge. And I think it's a great challenge every week, because every week you play somebody really, really good in this league.
Is he close to Patrick, or where is he ranked in terms of Patrick?
He's still a work in progress. I don't want him to think he's arrived by any stretch of the imagination. And that's, I think, what good players do. They're always challenged to be better, and they don't accept, well, I'm there yet.
Peterson tackle like him?
I haven't seen Patrick Peterson in a long time. I know Joe Hayden's playing well for us right now.
Patrick Peterson tackle for you? He did in the college.
Sure he did.
Raymond, how do you, like a player like Joe Hayden, how do you find the button to push to get him to do that?
That's all part of it. You know, you come in and you learn what you can and cannot say to players, how they react to you, which button to push. And, you know, I've challenged probably each guy individually in some form of fashion, whether it's, you know, verbally or psychologically or a pat on the back to play better for us.
Why didn't you want your coaches to talk to you when you played?
Probably because I was out there, I knew what was going on. I knew when I made a mistake. I knew what the mistake was, how the mistake was made, and probably how to correct it, so they didn't need to. And that's what I want. I want my players to understand what's going on the field, how to fix it. And usually I'll just say, do you know what's going on? If they say yes, I leave them alone. But if they have a question, I'm there. But I don't need to bother them. I bother them during the week. I challenge them in the classroom to be a better player mentally.
What kind of lift
fantastic. he was playing well. The play he got hurt on was a fantastic play, a big play in the in the Minnesota game. Jabal was playing very well for us. He's a very smart player. He allows us to do things. And the thing I've been saying the whole season here is depth is critical for our team to play well. And he's one of our better players. So to get him back, get Quentin Groves back, it enables our special teams to play better and our defense to play better.
Go back to this.
Pardon me?
His regular job as a starting outside linebacker.
Does he go back to that? That's a head coach's decision, and, you know, we want all of our good players on the field.
What was the lesson learned for Mingo on Spiller's long touchdown?
You'd have to ask him that. I assume he knows what the lesson is, what his responsibility to the rest of the team is. But, you know, he's a young player, and I think I said a week ago, 2 weeks for sure, young players like him, we're going to grow with him and get better. He's new. He hasn't played a lot. He's going to be a dynamic player for us. But also, he's got that learning curve of every game is different opponent, different schemes, and mistakes happen in the game.
Ray, what would be one or two things that have been maybe pleasant surprises for you this year with the defense?
What's been a pleasant surprise? The character of the men in the room. I didn't know them. How's it shown? It's shown classroom. It's shown on off the field how they support the community, how they relate to one another, how they support. You know, it's a team effort, offense, defense, special teams, how they come together, how important it is to them, how they study, adversity, a good character group of men. Probably the best way I can explain that to you guys, because I know the man, and I know the man would not mind me saying this. When Quentin Groves came here, there was an incident that happened. His teammates elected him team captain. Says a lot about our team, our bunch of men. I think that's probably about it. I didn't get a chance to see you guys last week, and I know you guys are all journalists, and it was a sad day for me last week because Tom Clancy passed away. He was one of my favorite authors. I love to read his books and the mind games that he played with you as a reader to get you to some place, and I know you guys all know who he is. I just wanted to pass on my condolences to the world because he was a fantastic author, and I loved how he would weave a tale to try to get you to the end. And I always read the last page of the book first, but it was always amazing to see that. So thanks, guys. Appreciate it.